This sermon is titled Receiving and Releasing the Voice of God, a Prophetic People. Be enriched as you listen.
Are you ready to spend some time in God's Word together? So this month we've been talking about being a prophetic people. We've basically emphasized the importance for all of us to be able to hear, to know the mind of God, to hear from God, and to release that. So in our very first sermon, we talked about the mind of the Lord, how to know the thoughts and ways of God. Second, we talked about the spirit of wisdom, how God, by His Spirit, enables us to release, come up with ideas, creative ideas, release the wisdom of God through us. And that's a prophetic expression. And third, last Sunday, we talked about the spirit of revelation, where the Holy Spirit unveils things to us, helps us see things, and thus release things that God wants here on earth. Today, in this last sermon in this series, we're going to talk about receiving and releasing the voice of God. Receiving and releasing the voice of God. It's an important part. This is being part of being a prophetic people. I want us to consider this, you know, how serious this is, how solemn this is, that we as a people can actually receive and release the voice of God. That God actually recognizes that He is speaking through us. That's really amazing. Well, let's begin with this unusual verse in Leviticus 24 in verse 12. Leviticus 24, verse 12. It says, "Then they put him in custody that the mind of the Lord might be shown to them." Now, the context is there was a person there among the people who was blaspheming God. So they put him in custody, kept him under arrest until the mind of the Lord be shown to them. Now, I just want to focus on that, the mind of the Lord. That phrase found in the Old Testament. So what did they do? They said, you know, Lord, we want to keep this person here because we want to know what is the mind of the Lord. Because we want to know what God has said. So that phrase, the mind of the Lord, is very interesting. It simply means that they wanted to know that it might be declared to them from the mouth of God. So to know the mind of the Lord is to hear the voice of God, that it might be declared to them from the mouth of God. So they said, God, we'll keep this man here. We want to know what to do. So we want to know the mind of the Lord. Literally, they were saying, we want to hear the voice of God. That's what they were saying. We want to know what's coming forth from the mouth of God. So we know what to do with this person. Of course, you know, he's doing some wrong things. We need them what to know. But that's the point, that you and I as God's people can receive from the mouth of God. We can receive the voice of God. And we want to focus in on that this morning. How do we receive the voice of God? How do we release the voice of God? And what will be the outcome? And when we close today, I'll touch upon a little bit on the power of His voice. What will happen when we release the voice of God? But let's talk about receiving the voice of God a little bit. I mean, keep this very simple this morning. That, you know, that the fact is that that you and I can give voice to God's voice, and that we can actually speak the voice of God. I'm not saying every time you're doing that, but you and I can actually give voice to God's voice. Hosea 12, verse 10. Look at Hosea 12, verse 10. Look at what God Himself says here. Hosea 12, verse 10. God says, I have also spoken by the mouth of the prophets. What is God saying? I have spoken through their mouths. Imagine God is saying, it's me speaking, but it's their mouths, their voice, but it's me speaking. That's pretty serious. That's not a light thing. For God Himself to say, I have spoken through them, through their voice. I have spoken through the mouth of the prophets. So what a privilege that you and I as ordinary people, We are frail, we make mistakes, all of that. But through us, the voice of God can actually be released here on earth. And God acknowledges it. I have spoken through their mouth, through their voice. And there are many other scriptures. I just picked one. You know, for example, I just mentioned this. It's not in the slides, but in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 2, David says, "The Spirit of God spoke through me, and His word was in my tongue." The Spirit of God spoke through me. His word was in my tongue. His voice was released through my voice. I mean, that's a big thing. Over in the New Testament, just another reference, Revelation 19, verse 10. The Bible says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus, that means what Jesus is testifying, what Jesus is speaking, that is the spirit, that is the inspiration of prophecy. So really, prophecy is giving voice to His voice. Prophecy is saying here on earth what Jesus is saying from heaven. The testimony of Jesus, what Jesus is saying, is what inspires prophecy, what we are uttering here on earth. What a privilege if we are actually giving voice to God's voice. So in the prophetic, this is an awesome thing, that you and I can actually give voice to God's voice here on earth. It's a powerful thing. So how do we receive God's voice? I want to share just simple things. Receiving God's, His voice, number one, is to be in quietness and stillness. This is so important. For us to be in a place of quietness and stillness in our spirits. Around us, there's so many things that agitate us. I don't know, we are all human. We get irritated, disturbed. Agitated by so many things. And it's easy. But very important for us is to learn to be in stillness and quietness in our spirit in order to receive His voice. So I try my best. I can't say I'm always successful. But I try my best to stay calm. Yes, there are many things that could irritate me. Irritate you? Irritate me? Many things that could irritate us. But I understand the importance of what? Stay calm. Because when you're calm and you're still, you're quiet. I'm talking about internally. Because we don't have much on what happens around us, right? Around us, there'll always be noise. Always be things happening. So we can't control those things. But we can control what happens internally. And internally, it's so important to be in that place of quietness and calm. I think a great example is that of the prophet Elijah over in 1 Kings 19, when he had just had this great victory on Mount Carmel. Fire had come down and burned up the sacrifice, and people had said, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord is amazing victory." Right after that, Jezebel says, "Elijah, by the end of this day, I'm going to knock you out. I'm going to kill you." And this great prophet of God is running for his life. He's just seen and experienced God answered by fire. But now all of a sudden he's scared. He's distressed. And he runs for his life to hide in the caves. So you can imagine. Emotionally, he must have been in a very terrible place. And God in His goodness wants to speak to Elijah in that situation. And the Bible records there was this great wind. There was a great earthquake. Fire. And Elijah's saying, is God speaking to me anything? Nothing. And the Bible says here, 1 Kings 19, verse 12. "And after the earthquake of fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." So you can imagine, Elijah is in that really, disturbed situation. I want God to speak to me. And he's waiting for something huge. Thunder and earthquake and fire and wind. And God's not in any of that. There's a still, small voice. And God is speaking. And that's the way God speaks to us often. Now, I know there are times when things happen in very loved ways. I know the Bible tells us, you know, the Lord's voice is like the sound of thunderous waters. In another place, his voice is like the sound of a trumpet, powerful. But most of the time, his voice comes to us as a still, small and we are looking for something in the thunder. We are looking for something in the lightning. We want something spectacular, something phenomenal to happen for God to speak to us. And none of that. God's voice is not in any of that. His voice comes to us in a very still, small, quiet way. And it's so easy to miss. So easy to miss. So what must our posture be? Stay calm. Try to be calm in your spirit. Because his voice often comes as a still, small voice. So we need to be calm to be able to receive that voice. So that's the first thing that you and I should practice. You know, the Bible teaches us, be still and know that I am God. Right? So for us to know that he is God, who God is, be still. And many times we get agitated. We lose sight of who God is. So be still. Second is to tune into inspiration. Tune into this inspiration. In Psalm 45 verse 1 is an interesting verse. The psalmist says this. He says, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I want to just focus on the first part of this verse. My heart is overflowing. That means he's feeling something coming out of his spirit. That Hebrew word for overflow there, rakash, it simply means to gush forth. To feel something stirring or moving. So he's saying there's something moving in my heart. Something good is being stirred up inside me. So he's tuning into the flow. I'm recognizing the flow. I'm recognizing that there's something happening inside. And then he says, I'm going to recite. I'm going to say something. My tongue is like, it doesn't mean he's writing with his tongue. It simply means words are going to come forth out like a skillful writer. Words are going to come forth out of it. So he's recognizing that stirring inside. And then the words are going to come forth. So in receiving God's voice, it's so important for us to tune into the flow. And I'll explain this a little bit more in our third statement. But to recognize that stirring, it comes in your heart. We've been emphasizing, listen to your heart, listen to your heart. So in your heart, you will feel something bubbling, something coming, overflow. He says, my heart is overflowing. It's being stirred up with a good theme. There's something good coming up. And I'm about to say it. I'm about to give voice to it. So tune into the flow. And the third, of course, is to receive the flow. So you recognize the flow, you tune in there, and then you receive the flow. Now, it's very interesting. I'm just doing this for the sake of instruction. It's very interesting when you look into the in the Old Testament, the words that are used in connection with the prophetic, and I want to highlight four words. They talk to us, they tell us about how the prophetic is received. How the prophetic is received. Let's read 1 Samuel 9 and verse 9. Receive the flow. 1 Samuel 9 verse 9. It says, formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he spoke to them. Come, let us go to the seer. For he who is now called a prophet was formerly called a seer. So in connection with the prophetic, there are two different words used here. There is a word, Hebrew word called seer. Now that's kind of self-explanatory. Seer, what do you think a seer does? All right, let me try this side here. What do you think a seer does? He sees, right? So that's the word, the Hebrew word ra. So a seer, that means he's seeing visuals. So that's one way the prophetic happens. And then it says, the other word is a prophet. That's Hebrew word, there is nabi. It literally means inspiration, it's bubbling up. So in this verse, you get at least two kinds of prophetic experiences. You can see, and it also bubbles up sometimes. It just comes, you feel the inspiration bubbling up. There's another Hebrew word used in connection with the prophetic. It's the word nataf, which means to distill or drop like rain. Drop, drop, drop. It just comes into your spirit. It's almost like it's dropping from above, coming into your spirit. But that's also used in connection with the prophetic. And the fourth is what we saw in Psalm 45:1. It's overflowing. There's a stirring, a gushing forth. So four ways inspiration can come, prophetic inspiration. One, there is the bubbling in your spirit, inspiration. Second, it can come forcefully, like a stirring or a gushing forth or overflow. Third, visual, what you see. Fourth, can drop down. Don't worry if this is not, the goal is not to get all technical. The goal is to understand that the flow, the prophetic flow, the inspiration can come in many different ways. But we need to tune in and receive. Are you understanding? It can come in so many different ways. And many times it can come in a combination of this. That in one prophetic moment, there could be something that's being inspired. There is the visual happening. And maybe there is something just dripping in, dripping down into your spirit. And God is speaking all of this. And He put it all together. And you're receiving the mind of the Lord. You're receiving what is coming forth from the mouth of God. And yesterday, now, usually around October, and I'm actually behind schedule, but usually in the month of October, we take time to pray and say, Lord, what is the word of the Lord for the coming year? And I need to, put it together, send it out to the media team, because a lot of things need to happen in preparation for Jan 1st. Many of you know this, when you come here on January 1st, you get a magnet. Now, the magnet doesn't happen the day before. We have to work on it months in advance. And then there are videos that are released, all of that. So all the preparation happens months in advance, usually in the month of October. So I'm actually behind schedule. And in the back of my mind, there are a lot of other things happening. So in the back of my mind, I'm saying, okay, I need to take time to wait on the Lord, to receive the word of the Lord, so that I can send it ahead of time to all these people who need to prepare all these things, get it ready for Jan 1st. And yesterday, God is so good, so merciful. I just went into the place where I'm praying. And I just started praying. So I'm praying in tongues. I'm also listening to the Book of Acts audio Bible. And I'm praying in tongues. Just 10 minutes into this. I haven't even yet spoken to God and said, Lord, I need the word of the Lord. Please give it to me. I haven't even had that conversation. But I can experience the nataf. It's coming. Drip, drip, drip. And usually when I'm praying, I have a book, a notebook, pen. I keep these things ready so I can write it down. And so I just wrote it down. This is the word of the Lord for 2026. Wrote it down. And that evening, yesterday evening, sent it off to the people, media team, others to get things ready for Jan 1st. But that's how easy it is. Sometimes people think, Pastor has to book his flight, go to heaven. Ask God, give me the word of the Lord. Come back here. Look, God is merciful. He just speaks. All we need to do is learn how to tune in. And here, even before I could call, he answered. Even before I could actually ask, saying, God, you know, I know it's time to seek you for the word of the Lord. Even before I could begin that conversation, Nataf is happening. It's coming. So it's actually so simple. Once we know how to tune into the flow and receive the flow, it's actually very simple. And many times we say, you know, or did your roof shake when God was speaking? Was the ceiling still there? Did God make a hole through the ceiling? Was there a bright light shining through to give you the word of God? No. God doesn't speak like that. It's not the wind. It's not the earthquake. It's not the fire. It's the still, small voice. Now, there may be times when God wants to do something spectacular. That's entirely up to him. But the norm is, it's a still, small voice. Are you understanding? Right? So we need to tune in and receive the flow. There are times when I'm praying with somebody and or praying, you know, it can come in a combination of ways. There can be times when there's a bubbling up, words are just coming up in your spirit. There's also a visual, you're seeing things. There may be also the nataf, and sometimes there may be something that's also pressing through, gushing. It's a combination. You need to put it all together. This is God's message. This is the voice of God. This is the mind of the Lord being released to your spirit. Amen? Now, this is for all of us. It's not for some special people. Like I said, I only prayed for 10 minutes. That's nothing very spiritual. I just began my time of prayer and here it comes. So it's not like, no, you've got to achieve some deep spiritual state. I mean, it's good to pray long hours. I spend a lot of time. But this happened at the beginning. God is not qualifying your ability to hear. You are positioned to hear because you are his son and daughter. Now, yes, do pray for a long time. That's a good thing. But you don't earn it. It's grace. Amen? So, it's for all of us. That's what I really want to emphasize. It's for all of us to receive the mind of the Lord. Hear the voice of God. Receive what he wants to release to us. And it comes so simply by inspiration. But when God does this, when we receive the mind of the Lord, number four, we must separate the flow from distractions. Separate the flow from distractions. Meaning, you know, God is saying something and we want to add the masala to it. We want, you know, we're so good at spicing things up. And so we want to add a lot of spice to what God is saying. No, refuse that temptation. Just give a couple of verses here. Jeremiah 15, 19, God speaking about these prophets who are, you know, kind of just mixing up a lot of things. So he says in Jeremiah 15, 19, the Lord says, if you return, I will bring you back. You shall stand before me. If you take out the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. What do? Take out the precious from what is corrupt. You will be like my mouth. So you position yourself saying, God, I'm going to, what is precious? I'll keep it precious. I'm not going to add in the mixture and corrupt what is pure. And God says, if you'll do that, then you'll be like my mouth. Now think about this. In other words, put it in simple words, you'll be my voice. If you separate the precious from the vial. So you and I must be determined. God, when you say something, I'll keep it like that. I'm not going to mix it up with my own ideas and my own things. No, I'll keep it. Separate out your own emotions from that. Are you understanding? In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 9, the Bible says, we know in part and prophesy in part. God knows everything, but he gives us a piece. He gives us a little part. So what do? Just release the part he's given you. Sometimes we're not happy with that. God has given us a part, and we had many parts to it. Because we want to sound very spiritual. Because if I give a small prophecy, it doesn't make me look like a prophet. So I got to give a long prophecy. God speaks for 1 minute, you make it 10 minutes. So really, 9 minutes of it is your part. And 1 minute is really what God said. Don't do that. We know in part, we prophesy in part. So you commit that, I'll just release what God says. It's fine. I don't need to spice it up. I don't need to add to it. Just say what God says. If you will maintain what is precious, then you'll be like his voice. Right? So simple things about receiving God's voice. First, we said, be in a state of calm. Be still. To tune into the flow. You recognize it when it's happening. Now, that doesn't mean you'll have the flow all the time. You know, sometimes you get around people where every time they bat their eye, they want to prophesy. I know that would not be true. God's not like that. There are times of normalcy. You're saying your own thing. You're speaking from your own mind. And that's fine. God gave you a mind. Use it. But there are times when there is the flow. There is the inspiration. Then step into it. Tune into that. Receive from that flow. However God is speaking, receive from it. And then speak it faithfully. Just release the part that God has given you. So let's talk a few things about releasing the voice of God, releasing his voice. Here are a few things, and these are very simple. Number one, speak faithfully. It's kind of a continuation of what we just said. But God is looking or counting on us to speak faithfully. What he's given you, say it, and that's it. In Jeremiah 23, 28 and 29, God says, the prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. He who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? So what is God calling upon us? Yes, look, if I gave you a dream, just say what you dreamt. If I've given you my word, just say it. Just speak what I've given you faithfully, because my word is like a hammer and it's like fire. It'll do the job. So don't have to sensationalize it. You don't have to, hype it up. In fact, the simpler it is, the more beautiful it is when you deliver prophecy. Sometimes we hype it, we roll over our heads and whatever, we make a dramatize, we create so much drama around it, and there's so much of flesh mixed in with it. Keep it simple. If you have a dream, you receive my word, speak my word faithfully, because my word's like a hammer. It will do its job. It's like fire. It will do its job. Right? So commit to speaking faithfully. Just release it faithfully. Second, trust God to confirm it. Once you release the voice of God, you just relax. In Isaiah 44, verse 26, he says, God confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers. What does God do? He confirms and he performs. So once you release the word, you know it's come by inspiration. You stepped into the flow, you received his word. Relax. Because God confirms the word of his servant, and he performs the counsel of his messenger. So you've given a word, you've shared a counsel that you've received from God, you relax. Because it's God who's going to confirm it, it's God who's going to perform it. The pressure is not on you. But sometimes we make the mistake. So you have to do what I told you to do. Relax. Don't force people to do that. Just release the word, and you take a step back, having confidence that God will confirm and God will perform. Even in your own life, when you receive a word of inspiration, you speak it, God will confirm, God will perform. Are you with me? And the third thing you and I should practice when we release His voice, the last one here, is allow people to test it. Allow people to test it. Just because you know that you indeed received by inspiration, you could feel the presence of God, you got that gushing flow, or you got that visual, or you know God has spoken, absolutely, perfect, wonderful. But that does not give you the right to insist that somebody else do what you said. Doesn't give you the right. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 21, it says, don't quench the spirit, don't despise prophecies, test all things, hold on to what is good. Meaning, you test it, if it's good, you hold on to it, implying that there could be things that are not good which you need to discard. So when you release the voice of God, especially when you're ministering to somebody else, always say, now you pray about it. You seek God about it. Why? Because the Bible says, test all things. But if you say, God spoke to me, you have to do it, you know, spiritually, that is witchcraft. When you use spiritual means to control somebody else's will, that is witchcraft. That's what it is. So if you use prophecy to control somebody else, so you have to do it because God told me to tell you, you're practicing witchcraft. That's not the Holy Spirit. Because if you control somebody else's will using spiritual means, that is witchcraft. Even if it's so-called good means, biblical means, that is witchcraft. The people on the dark side use demons to control people's will. Here you're using some spiritual experience like prophecy to dictate what somebody else should do. That's not right. The Bible tells us, don't despise prophecies, but you've got to test everything. I mean, you've got to give them the freedom. Please check. Please pray. Seek God. That's the right way to do it. I remember a long time ago, one of our young men, he got to a meeting somewhere here in our city, and the prophet over there supposedly prophesied, saying, by December, you will die. Now, see, I'm not making this up. This seriously happened. He was so shaken, he came to me, Pastor, I went to this meeting, the prophet prophesied, by December, I'm going to die. Nonsense. I didn't use that word. But I said, listen, first of all, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14:3, that prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. This doesn't in any way build you up. It doesn't encourage you. It doesn't comfort you. The Bible also says that God will speak peace to His people. This doesn't bring any kind of peace to you. Are you living in some great sin that you have to die by December? No, Pastor. And I knew him. He was one of our volunteers serving in church. So I said, all you do have to do is reject it. Don't accept it. So here's the problem. When we accept these kinds of prophecies, we are actually giving the devil an opportunity to make it happen. But when you test it and you say, I reject it, you're fine. So he did that. He's well alive. He's in some other part of the world, doing very well with the family, etc. Everything is fine. And many seasons have come and gone. So the point is this, don't believe just anything anybody quote unquote prophesies. You got to test it, right? So be careful about this. And the same thing when you release something on people, always give them the freedom. You have the freedom to process what I'm saying, and I respect what you do. Don't control people's will. The moment you're controlling somebody using any spiritual means, you're practicing witchcraft. You understand? All right. So it's three simple things on how to release prophecy. We just said, speak it faithfully, trust God to confirm it, allow people to test it. I want to close with this talking about the power of His voice. You see, as believers, we have the voice of faith and the voice of prophecy. Voice of faith is powerful. Jesus said, if you have faith in your heart, even like a mustard seed, and you speak to the mountain, tell it to move, it'll move. Nothing will be impossible to you. That's the voice of faith. It's powerful. It means you build faith in your heart by meditating in God's word, receiving God's word, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. And then you speak that faith. Jesus said, mountains will move. Nothing will be impossible to you. So as believers, all of us, we have the voice of faith. We can speak our faith and see things happen. But we also, in addition, we have the voice of prophecy. That means something that's coming by inspiration. And when we release it, when we give voice to God's voice on earth, powerful things happen. Powerful things happen. That means when you receive this word by inspiration and you speak it, things will happen. Many examples. I'll just share this. Sometime back or some years ago, I used to run a tech business, small company. And I remember in those years, 2009, 2010, I think it was, when there was this global, those years, it's called the dot-com bubble burst. And there was a global downturn. Things are hard. And I still remember, this was, I think, 2010. We had about, say, 20, 30 people in the office. And as a Christian business owner, one of the things I always took pride in was I always pay salaries on time. That was part of my testimony. I want to do that. But things were so difficult. And this was the month of January that year. We didn't have money. We had a staff, about 30 people. We have to pay the salaries. End of January is coming. We didn't have the money to pay the salaries. Lot of pressure. And I remember Sunday mornings, I would stand up, preach faith, cheer everybody up. Monday, I'm facing a different reality. I'm driving to the office and I'm saying, God, end of January is coming. We don't have the money. And things are difficult. What to do? So, now during that whole season and all through the time, I was releasing the voice of faith. I would speak over the company. I would speak over the business and declare what God would say in God's promises, that He will bless us. He will prosper us. So I was doing that. So I was speaking the voice of faith day in, day out, speaking. But that particular Monday morning, Sunday we had the service, everything gone. And I used to keep church and business separate. So church will not know what's happening that side. It's separate. Monday morning, I'm driving. A lot of tension. God, I've got to pay salary. And we said, from Jakur, our office was in Antinagar, driving up Hebbal flyover. When you're on a flyover, you're a little closer to God. So on the flyover, and absolutely at the peak point of the flyover, suddenly, this is inspiration. Powerfully, God's word comes into my spirit. The God who put money in the mouth of a fish will put money into the bank account. Now, my first thought is, God, that's illegal. Literally, hey, if money just shows up in your account, that's illegal. Like how is it going to happen? But I know what I did. I'm driving, and in the car, I'm shouting at the top of my voice, the God who put money in the mouth of a fish will put money into the bank account. I'm shouting at the top of my voice. What am I doing? I'm giving voice to His voice. This is not the voice of faith. The voice of faith I'm speaking every day in the office. This is prophecy. The prophetic voice. Meaning, it's something coming by, and I wasn't even thinking this. I wasn't even thinking about the fish in the sea that Peter caught and all. I wasn't thinking about it. It just came like a flash. I just said, the God who put money in the mouth of a fish that put money into the bank account. How is it going to happen? I don't know. Where is it going to come from? I don't know. I just spoke what came into my spirit at that moment. Repeat that a few times into the office. Doing my regular thing, checking emails, doing the work. That day, and this is so amazing, that same day, that afternoon, Monday afternoon, I received an email from a client, the people we were working for. We had not done work for them for now 2 years. So 2 years had gone since we last did work for them. 2 years later, I'm receiving this email. I says, 2 years ago, you set up a team for us. We're going to do some work. But that project never took off. Please tell us how much we owe you. Now, things like that usually happen only in heaven. Like, I don't think those kinds of things happen here on earth. But it did happen. And for it to happen that same day, it was not just coincidence. I think God was doing something. And by the end of that week, we had the full, you know, a huge amount in. Everything was taken care of. But think about it. There is the voice of faith, and there is the voice of prophecy. The voice of faith, you speak because you have faith in your heart, you speak to the mountain. Prophecy is God inspiring something, giving you a word at that moment, and you release His voice, and your voice becomes God's voice. Things happen. Worship team, please come. So I want us to understand the power of His voice. People are blessed. You see, when you release this voice, sometimes it's just simple words, but people are blessed. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, like we saw earlier. He who prophesies, he speaks to edification, exhortation, comfort. You'd never know. God inspires a simple word. And you give those simple words to somebody, you don't know how much it would mean to them. It'll bless them. It could mean the world to them. Your words, you're saying like, God, this is so simple. It's okay. But when it's God's voice, it will mean everything to them. We bring edification, exhortation, comfort. And in Jeremiah, he says, my words are like fire. So sometimes a word of that simple word can even burn up all the chaff that's in their life. Things that they've been struggling with for years, a simple word that you speak can cause it all to go, disappear. Can bless people. So don't underestimate, don't even try to evaluate, because you and I cannot. The power of giving voice to His voice, how it will impact somebody else. You can never estimate it. Very powerful. Second, we see in Scripture that the natural world responds to the voice of God. Psalm 29, verses 1 through 9 is very powerful. The voice of God, everything in the natural responds to it. So when you give voice to God's voice, this natural world is responding to the voice of God. Things in this world begin to, how, you know, what is the physics behind it? What's the chemistry behind it? Forget it. You give voice to His voice, the natural world will respond. Don't try to figure it out how it's going to happen. Say it. You know God has inspired those words, you release it. Angels go on assignment when they hear His voice. Psalm 103, 20-21. It says, angels, they are His hosts. They give heed to the voice of His word. And we just saw earlier from Scripture that God acknowledges that we are His mouthpiece. We are giving voice to His word. So one aspect of those angels listening is when you release the voice of God, angels go into action. So, but I can't see the angels, no feathers dropping. Don't worry about that. They're angels acting because you are speaking what God is inspiring you to speak. They're going to assign them. And lastly, regions, territories, nations are affected. In Jeremiah 1, verses 9 and 10, God speaks to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I put my word in your mouth. In other words, you be my voice. I put my word in your mouth. And God tells Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I have set you over the nations. And you will root out, you will pull down, you will destroy. And you will build and plant. Who's Jeremiah? He's just a young man. But God is saying, Jeremiah, when you speak my words, you give voice to my voice, nations and kingdoms will be affected. Things will change. The things will be pulled down, things will be lifted up when you give voice to my voice. That's the power of his voice. And what a privilege that you and I can speak that. Yes, there's a voice of faith, but there's a voice of prophecy. And we are talking about the voice of prophecy. Are you understanding? So church, it's an invitation for all of us. Like I said, this is not for special people. It's for all of God's people to give voice to his voice here on earth. Tune into that inspiration, however it comes to you. Say it, maybe to bless somebody, maybe to change some situation, maybe to affect a nation, but give voice to his voice. Father, we just thank you for the honor and the privilege of being your voice here on earth. That each one of us, God, will be people who give voice to your voice. In our life situations, in the things that matter to us, and the things that you've called us to, God. That we will release the mind of the Lord, the words that come from the mouth of God into other people, into life situations, into circumstances, into government buildings, government offices, government spaces, into all spaces that you've called us to influence and impact, that we will release the voice of the Lord and we will see transformation, oh God. Father, that by the voice of the Lord, we will see the wilderness and the desert blossom like the rose. We will cause a turnaround of what exists and bring it into what you want it to be. One of fruitfulness, one of plenty. That God, by speaking, we will see these things change as we release the voice of God. And Father, we pray that you will make each one of us sensitive, in tune to the things of the Spirit, to the Holy Spirit, that our eyes, our ears, our hearts will be open to understand, keen to pick up what you are saying, keen to the still small voice, that we will begin to move and flow wherever we are in life situations, in our offices, on our school campuses, in busy places, that we will receive the voice of God and flow with it, and we will have impact and influence. And we thank you, Father, for making us such a people. Each one of us will be attuned to the still small voice of God. Each one of us here will know in our spirit when God speaks. We'll be able to see with our eyes what God is revealing. We'll be able to hear with our ears what God is saying. And God, we will release your voice here on earth. That we will be such a people doing these things here on earth. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for that. Release that grace upon each one of us from this day on. Let things be different. Let us be seers. Let us be prophets. Let us be people who will hear the voice of God and move in it, flow in it. Just bless people. Touch lives. Break bondages. Set captives free because of the voice of the God, which is so powerful. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it. Thank you. Thank you. Let's close, please. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the sweet fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with us, with each of us, always. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We trust this message was a blessing to you. For more free resources, including sermons, sermon notes, and books, please visit apcwo.org. For information on APC Bible College in Bangalore, visit apcbiblecollege.org. Do remember to download the All People's Church Bangalore app from the Apple or Google Play Store.